There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and a couple hours for you and I to hang out. Easy to get in touch with the show. The phone line and the text line are both 343-0106. 343-0106. So it gets you through on a text or a phone call. And also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talk back messages as well. You know, speaking of the council, we'll get to that in just a second. Well, I'll just throw this out because I know Dan and Dalton talked about it the other day. And I'm going to ask our guest about this because he has to work in that area of town, so we'll find out. But could we turn our one-way streets into two-way streets downtown? What would the mayhem be on that? And the other part of it is, we'll get it in hour number two, and I said at the end of Jeff's show. So my buddy Jeff Toxie is going to join us. Jeff is petroleum engineer. He is in Doha, Qatar. And he's one of my buddies from University of Alabama. He has moved all over the world, and he is, it was his videos I saw yesterday from his backyard with like the basketball goal with incoming ordnance from Iran and seeing it shot down that just made me think I need to get Jeff on the show. So he's going to join us. Also, Army Major Troy Carrico is going to join us as well in hour number two. But I'll just say this, and we'll get to the audio from Trump next hour. Do you think kind of what Israel was doing there, Iran was doing is, you know you're going to, and I can say this right now because times are peaceful for a second. We have a ceasefire. You know when you say you're going to start a diet on a Monday, but Sunday you go, I won't have the butter pecan ice cream. I wonder if they just said, all right, the ceasefire is getting ready to start. I'm going to do a little cheat day here and get the last missiles in. I don't know, something to mull over. All right, bringing into this mix, he's probably going, what have I done again? Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood, good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean. Thanks for having me again.
And I want to ask you this. As your office is, of course, downtown, let's talk about this. What if the streets of downtown that have we've learned over time, and you moved here, but you had to learn, you know, this is a one way this way, this one way that way. Now we're going to go. Maybe city council considering going two way traffic on some of these streets downtown. The mayhem, do you think this might cause?
I think that could cause some problems for a while. You know, I'm pretty used to the one ways,
yes.
But I very commonly notice people that are not as good with the one ways. So maybe it's a solution. I don't know.
I think what'll happen here. I mean, there's obviously a danger. Somebody, you know, thinking they have one way, and here comes traffic at them the other way. But I think all of us that like to lecture somebody from out of town that they're going the wrong way on a one way, will now be lecturing them. They're on a one way go, and they'll actually be in the right. The person will be, hey, you fool! You're only supposed to go this way on St. Louis or whatever, and they're like, no, I can go both ways now. That's what I just think is going to happen.
Right, right. The bigger problem that I've seen are people speeding down Conti and running stop signs.
Yes.
That one's pretty bad.
Stop sign. Yeah, we had that discussion the other day. Stop signs versus stoplights. In your history, in the law, what do you think? Which one works better? Which one do people respect more?
Well, in Mobile, I think the stop sign, really, because you pull up to any red light, yes. The light turns red. There's at least two or three more cars that go through every single time.
Yes.
I see that pretty much every day.
Well, you know, I told my eldest that when she started driving, I said, give it like a five count. And of course, I'm a father. It goes in one ear, out the other, until she saw it happen a few times. And then she said, yeah, you're kind of right on that, Dad. I said, well, there, one thing. Give me one thing I'm right on and just wait.
Right. And in those blind intersections, you really have to ease forward very slowly when that light turns green.
See, so we get it from the district attorney as well. Good to get you back in. I want to kind of get an update, too, on this is kind of a general question I'm going to ask you, and we can delve into it. Do you and your staff have the tools you need to prosecute violent criminals? Because I know there's been things added. Some things weren't. Can we go through that? Like, do you have the toolbox? And if not, what would you add to it?
Well, we've added more prosecutors since I started. That has required us to have more computers, more of everything, more office space, really. I mean, we're pretty much packed out in the current office space that we have. I would like to add more prosecutors. That requires funding.
And for people who don't know, how do y'all get your funding? Where's it come from?
So it comes from a variety of sources. We get a percentage from the state that is not even half. We get over half of our funding from the county, and we're a state agency. Then we rely on things like bad check fees. Well, those have gone severely down over the last, several years. Different fees from court costs, which I'm not a huge fan of. I would like to see us be fully funded from the state.
Okay. The court cost thing, because I'd talked to people before, and I'd talked to a judge who works elsewhere in Alabama, who said he was lamenting to me that as a branch of government, judicial branch, what brings in, having trouble getting it back into the system. Does that make sense, what he was saying? He said, man, I feel like, we got to beg for money to get back in the system, and we're the ones kicking money into the system through the judicial.
I think there's some truth to that. Our funding comes out of the general fund from the state. Like I said, most of it.
51%, you said?
No, 51% from the county.
Okay, 49.
And so I would say maybe 27, 28% comes from the state. And we have to make up the rest everywhere. So the city of Mobile has been very generous to us over the last 3 years. We're hoping to continue that relationship because we've really shown that we have been good stewards of the money that the city and the county has invested in the DA's office. I think that's borne out in the numbers of prosecutions. I'm very proud that our office is the busiest circuit in the state. We prosecute more than anybody.
Really?
And we're doing it, we're doing it with a lot less than what we need. So are we able to prosecute violent crime? Yes, absolutely. Could we have additional resources, additional investment to make what we're doing even better? Yes, I think we could.
What I'm hearing is people need to go out and write bad checks to help finance what's going on with the district attorneys. Y'all's job is to do that and get busted and get the money back in. But, okay, so there's the money. There's the, operational side.
Yeah.
Laws. Laws that come through Montgomery that affect what you do in your office. We've talked about Anaya's Law.
Yeah.
Makes big difference for you and what you do.
That's been huge. Anaya's Law was absolutely critical in stopping the revolving door for violent criminals. We've used it successfully every time that we've tried it. We have violent offenders that before Anaya's Law, they would have been constitutionally entitled to a bond. That's the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, they would have been out in public potentially committing another violent offense until we could get that bond revoked. Now we are able to have them held under Anaya's Law. I think that's going to keep our community a lot safer.
Yeah, for a civil libertarian like myself, at first, my reaction to that, I'm like, well, constitutionally, they could go out. That's idealistically. Pragmatically, I watched story after story after story where somebody was out on bond and they went and killed, robbed, or injured somebody while they were out.
Right.
Same person. Like, the mugshot was still glossy from the last time they were
right.
in. They put it up the next time they're like, maybe they're wearing the same damn shirt or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was like overnight.
And once you're at that point where something terrible has happened and that person was out on bond, they've done this horrific thing, the case law is pretty specific that by that affirmative action, they have revoked their constitutional right to having a bond. So in that case, we could ask a court to hold them with no bond, but the terrible thing has already happened. Anaya's Law allows us to prevent that next terrible thing.
Okay. So there's a tool that's working.
It is.
That's working for you. I focus here on shooting into and
right.
what was done and not done in Montgomery. Can you kind of explain what was asked here in this last session? What was passed? What does it look like now?
So the shooting into cases, I'm going to have to check the effective date on it, but the push to make that a Class A felony for shooting into an occupied dwelling, I think that's a critical piece of legislation. We've had several shooting into occupied dwellings in Mobile that have resulted in innocent people being killed. Even if no one is killed, the very act itself is very dangerous. It puts innocent people at risk. So it's important to get that to a Class A felony so that we can hold offenders even more accountable.
If somebody shoots at somebody, okay, what is that? Class what? Felony. If the person's right there and they're shooting at them, and let's say they don't hit them, but they're shooting right at them. What is that?
It would depend on all the circumstances. If there's evidence to show attempted murder, that mm-hmm. could be a Class A felony.
Okay.
But it could also be reckless endangerment, which is a misdemeanor.
If they're aiming at them.
Depending on the circumstances, there would have to be evidence that there is an intent to kill, that they're aiming at them. Absent that, it could potentially be a misdemeanor. It's crazy. It's wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But there are circumstances where it could be a Class A.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So to me, that what I'm getting to is shooting into is even more reckless than shooting at with intent. Your intent, you're shooting in to kill somebody, injure them. That's why you're not.
That's right.
Trying to ventilate their house.
That's
you're
right.
You're shooting to kill somebody.
Absolutely. And
so it seems like it's akin to it seems to make sense to be a Class A felony. I mean, it's even worse in a way because you don't even know who you're going to hit.
Right. I mean, it can put anybody in the house in danger of losing their life.
Children, grandmothers,
right.
innocent people.
It makes complete sense for that to be a Class A felony.
So if that was a Class A felony, that'd be a tool that would be of value to you in the DA's office?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's just kind of going through your toolbox here. We're going to come right back. More with Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. I've got your text from the questions from the text line. We'll get to those. Also, phone calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And glad to have Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood as our guest this hour. Your chance to ask questions of him at 343-0106. Talking in the last segment about Anaya's Law. And this is so shame on me, it slipped by me that in this last legislative session, amendment made to Anaya's Law that'll be, I guess, a CA, a constitutional amendment, will be on the ballot in this next cycle. Not the municipal cycle, but
the 2026.
Yeah, cycle. Right. We'll see it. And it says what? Put it in like Sullivanese, layman's terms.
So Anaya's Law covers a specific set of violent offenses. And as we progress through using it and looking at other violent offenses, it was determined we needed to add some things. Attempted murder is not on the list, and I don't know if that was an oversight, but attempted murder
wow,
is a violent
seems
offense.
Like, yeah.
So the act that the legislature passed will be on the ballot as a constitutional amendment. It adds solicitation, attempt, or conspiracy to commit murder, and it also adds the shooting into cases to the list that we can pursue Anaya's Law holds on.
So currently you can't use shooting into as a reason for Anaya's Law to keep somebody in jail.
That's correct. And
wow.
Yeah, hopefully this amendment will pass with as much support as Anaya's Law itself did. I think
which I've never seen anything.
Overwhelming support.
I mean, in the legislature, both parties, and then when it was the CA, it passed. I mean, I don't have the numbers. Was it in the 96-7%? I'd never seen anything in Alabama pass like that.
I think it was around 99. It was overwhelmingly supported.
I've never seen one like that.
So I fully expect that this will be supported as well. That's going to give us some additional tools that we can use to prevent further crime by holding these violent offenders in jail.
Because that's one of the important things, because often this gets lost. People say, well, bad guys, District Attorney, bad guys don't care about the laws. They're going to go do the bad thing. And I agree with those people, but it's the secondary and tertiary effects, right? It lets you keep that. Now they did the bad thing. We can't help what's in the hearts of men. We're trying,
right.
But that lets you go. Yeah. You don't get to come. You don't get to go out for a while here.
Exactly. And that's important for keeping our community safe, because if they're not going to change their behavior, they're going to reoffend. People are going to get hurt. People are going to get killed. It's not what we want in a law and order community. And I want Mobile County to be a law and order community. That's one of the big reasons I ran for this job. It's why I wanted this job. And I think that with tools like this, that we can continue the hard work that we're doing in making this a safe place.
Yeah. So, I mean, you say law and order community, what does that look like? Is safe, right? I mean, that's the...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safe. We don't have the shooting into cases. We don't have shootings in the street. That's what I would like to see. And if we can keep violent offenders in jail, and that's just step one for us. Okay. That's the bond hearing. That's the first thing that happens. You've got a violent offender. I want a constitutional reason to keep them in jail where they cannot continue this violent behavior. But then after that, there's about 100 steps to get them prosecuted, to get them convicted, to get them in prison. And that's the job of the team at the DA's office. It's what we've been doing. It's, like I said, we are the busiest circuit in the state. That's the day-to-day work that we're trying to accomplish.
Speaking of which, so this text here from Cody said, if we prosecute the most, does that mean we have the most crime? Because y'all are doing the most prosecution out of any district.
No. The statistically, the crime rate is actually down, especially with respect to violent crimes. And I can pull that up. We're running, you know, between 25% and 35% down in the major crime categories. What that is that every jurisdiction had a backlog. Ours kind of started before COVID, but COVID threw that into overdrive.
I remember getting the numbers from your predecessor. It was incredibly.
Yeah. We had just under 9,000 cases pending in circuit court alone when I started. That doesn't include what was in grand jury, what was in district court. That number now is around 4,800, 4,900, depending on when grand jury reports, it might spike up to 5,100. So we cut our backlog almost in half in probably a year. We got through the COVID backlog in a year, and the numbers kept coming down. So, you know, over a couple of years, we've cut a lot of those cases, and that's through prosecution of them. That's getting them to the end of the line where we get a guilty plea or a conviction. A lot of jurisdictions across the country experiencing the same backlog. They just mass dismissed cases. That's not what we do.
Really?
So, yes, and I've been to national conferences where
they just said
you had prosecutors, elected prosecutors, that were bragging about how they got through their backlog
by dismissing the cases,
mass dismissing thousands of cases.
That's like getting the mail delivered by dumping it in the Mobile River.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly. So yeah. No, I mean, no justice for victims. No accountability for the criminals. So. You know, another reason I ran is because I didn't want to see something like that happen here. That certainly never would have happened under my predecessor or her predecessor who hired me. And I didn't want someone new coming in that might consider doing that. So we prosecuted these cases, holding offenders accountable, seeking victims for justice, and getting through that backlog has been what has made us the busiest circuit in the state. And backlogs elsewhere, they continue to grow. Ours is shrinking.
There you go, Cody. There's the answer to it. And something, too, just watching this from outside, it seems like the more you prosecute, the more you get people that will plead. And so, right? I mean, because if I think y'all aren't prosecuting, there's 9,000 on the list, I'm not pleading anything. Y'all aren't going to get to me for a few years.
That's right. And, you know, plea negotiations are an important part of what we do. A lot of people call it plea bargaining, which is a term I don't like because that implies that somebody's getting a bargain. But plea agreements are necessary because we have thousands and thousands of cases. We have 8 courtrooms to try them in. You can only try one at a time in any given courtroom. So the vast majority do settle by guilty pleas. And when we're not able to get cases to trial, nobody is pleading guilty, and we saw that when the court system was shut down. If we're not ready for trial, now things are normal. I mean, we're trying cases left and right all the time.
Yeah, unless I think I'm going to trial and y'all are going to prosecute me right away, then I have no there's no fire under my butt.
Well, the good thing about our office, we have attorneys that are they are trial attorneys. They are ready for trial, and defendants know that. Defense attorneys know that. if we've made a reasonable offer that's going to hold this offender accountable, you know, we announce ready for trial, then we're going to go to trial, and a lot of defendants don't want that.
Yeah.
If we were not ready.
Yeah, then where's my motivation to work with y'all?
And that's why we need the, you know, highest trained, skilled prosecutors, which I feel we have, and I would love to add to that team.
So, I mean, in a way, I don't know what the exact math would be, but prosecuting one, being ready for trial and all, but prosecuting one might get you two or three that would work a deal.
Well,
the
most...
I don't know what the ratio would be, but...
I guess the best way to explain it, you take a brand new prosecutor, fresh out of law school, okay? You put them in a courtroom, all right? Everybody sees a brand new prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to take, you know, a guilty plea. They're going to test that prosecutor. But once they see that prosecutor try, you know, two, three, four, five cases, and that prosecutor's ready, and that prosecutor is getting some convictions, then people are going to start pleading guilty.
Yeah, they'd say, I don't want to go up against that person, so.
Right.
All right, coming right back with District Attorney Keith Blackwood. Get your questions asked when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. 18 years plus now getting junk out of storage units and houses and garages and businesses all over Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you've been saying I'm going to get around to it on one of these jobs out there, get Trey and the crew to do them. Used them personally. So many of us here at the station have used them. This radio station used them to clean out a storage unit. Whatever. You've got junk you want to go on, and even big stuff. Trey reminds me weekly, it seems like. Sean, don't just talk about, you know, the boxes and the couches and all those kind of stuff, but the big stuff like routine, swing sets, above ground pools, storage buildings in the backyard. You bought this house, it's got a bunch of stuff you didn't want in it. Or maybe, I'm not talking to you directly. Yes, I am. You got the Pirates Lookout Redwood swing set in the backyard, and your youngest child's in their 30s. It's okay to let it go and not have to weed eat around it. What are you going to do? You can call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll come get that. Plus, you know, these garages that are attached to houses are pretty cool. You can put cars in them if you get the junk out of them. Wherever you got junk piled up, he's like, if somebody could just come by here and take all this stuff, it'd be done. I got a guy. And his name is Trey. He's with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And you set an actual appointment, which I really appreciate. It's none of that, you know, they'll be there sometime between 7 in the morning and 7 at night. No. When you go online or pick up the phone, their name is the number, and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll find the day that works for you and a time that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. Then you show up, and you just point at the junk you want gone, and they'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done. So do it today. Get that appointment set online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue our conversation with Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. I want to ask you before we get into a ton of text questions here, the tools in the toolbox thing, kind of the narrative I was going with, and I'm going to try to put it in Sullivanese here, but the proposal for a law to be changed after what went down, the Sanger Theater went down, what do you call this? The shooting in, what is this called?
Yeah. Representative Matt Simpson is proposing a bill that I expect will be addressed in the next legislative session that would make shooting into a crowd of multiple people where someone dies would make it capital murder and eligible for the death penalty. We've seen shootings in crowds. The first call I got as the Mobile County District Attorney from law enforcement was a New Year's Eve shooting.
It was a New Year's shooting downtown.
Mm-hmm. And so it's an additional tool that we would have to, you know, combat violent crime and to hopefully deter some of that conduct. As I said, Representative Simpson is proposing this bill. I'm fully supportive of it. We were able to charge capital murder in the Sanger shooting based on evidence that the victim's children were present and potentially witnessed what happened. The law doesn't require them to witness it, but be present, and they could have heard or witnessed what happened. So that's the reason we were able to charge it in that particular case. Of course, you know, full disclaimer, he's presumed innocent until convicted. Mm-hmm. But having this this law where shooting into a crowd's causing a death, being capital murder, that gives us a lot more teeth to really combat that horrible, violent conduct.
So if that passes in the next session, that would be an additional tool like the ones we've talked about you're using right now.
Correct. Yeah, it would be.
All right. From the text line here, let's see, unnamed texter, can you ask district attorney why an illegal alien in the United States illegally is afforded any type of due process or any other benefit of our laws if they're here illegally?
I can't speak to benefits, but I will say that anyone in our country is protected by our criminal laws, which is, you know, particularly what I handle. So say there's a victim of a crime that's an illegal alien. We're not going to decline to prosecute that crime because the victim is an illegal alien. Now, as far as the citizenship status of a person, that is a 100% a federal issue. We're a state agency. But in a law and order society, even for people that are here illegally, and let me say, I love what our current administration is doing to make our country safe with respect to illegal aliens and especially the violent ones. But that said, if someone is a victim, they're a victim, and we are going to fight for justice for whatever happened that made that person a victim.
Yeah, like the same way we talked about with the sheriffs, y'all, on the show. They can take the criminal portion, but the immigration status, they have to defer to the feds. It's the law.
Right. That's the law. And I've personally prosecuted cases where my victim was here in the country illegally. It was a child victim. It was a child victim of a sexual crime. And I fought for that child as much as I would fight for
anybody else. Because a crime still happens.
Absolutely.
This Adam says, why is it that we so often hear of someone who is arrested and that we hear about the same person's been arrested multiple times before and or they commit a crime while they're out on bail? Is this on the judges?
You can't put the blame on any particular part of the justice system. It depends on the individual circumstances of each arrest. I've seen, you know, just this morning, we've got a suspect in a case that I won't get into, but somebody sent me 5 pages of mugshots going back to when this guy was 19 years old, and he's in his 40s right now. So that's happened over a period of years. You know, now we have tools like Anaya's Law to try to prevent that. If someone commits a crime and they're constitutionally entitled to bail, they get out, commit another crime, we've got good law to have their original bond revoked and to have bond denied in the new case. And that's something we do on a routine basis nearly every day.
Okay, Mob Dog says, a question for the DA. I was shot in my back intentionally, and there was no threat to the shooter, and I wasn't even carrying a gun or a knife. The shooter was charged with attempted murder, but the charge was dropped down to assault first. How is that?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that happened to you. I cannot imagine living through that kind of circumstance. I will say that it relies on not just one, two, or three pieces of information, but the entirety of an investigation. And we have to look at individual particular circumstances. So there could have been a good reason that was reduced to an assault first. That's still a Class B felony, which is 10 to 20 years with the gun enhancement. Don't know when that happened, if it was recently or many, many years ago, but I can't speak for an individual prosecutor's decision without knowing all of the facts and circumstances.
Barry asks, is it true to prosecute someone, you have to have a grand jury indictment?
So to prosecute misdemeanors, you need a criminal complaint, which is signed in the magistrate's office, and then those cases are prosecuted in district court. District court has jurisdiction over felony preliminary hearings, so those start with a complaint too, in most cases. They go through district court for the specific purpose of a preliminary hearing. Then if it passes through there, it goes to the grand jury. The grand jury chooses to issue an indictment or a no bill. And so to continue the prosecution of a felony into circuit court where someone can be convicted, you have to have an indictment. There's an exception to every rule. And if someone wants to waive grand jury action and plead guilty, then we can do what's called a solicitor's information. They can waive the action of the grand jury, plead guilty in circuit court, and the case is over.
Okay, this unnamed texter says, but what you're overlooking and advocating for expanding, and I don't know if it's for you or me, or maybe both of us, but it says, but what you're overlooking and advocating for expanding Anaya's law is the factor that the person is accused but not convicted as guilty. By not giving bail, you're treating the person as if they're already convicted. So this was the big one of the big questions that had come up.
Well, you know, this is our Constitution, and the Constitution can be amended by popular vote. I don't think we're treating them as being convicted. They're not being held in prison. They are being held in jail. And there is a very high burden of evidence that we have to present. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt like it is in a jury trial, but it's a high burden that has to be satisfied through court hearings.
The judge have a,
for us
they have
to
an
be
option.
Able to do that. That's right.
Right. They're not
That's
forced
right.
or compelled. They and, just given that choice.
And we have prosecutorial discretion as well to not seek Anaya's law. But in cases where we do choose to seek Anaya's law, we have to present a lot of evidence, and then a judge has to make a decision. So I don't think it's akin to treating them like they're convicted. They're still presumed innocent. And I think it's something that most people agree is keeping our community safer.
All right. This from Jack said, I've been trying to collect restitution from a scumbag that broke into my house. I know it's not a violent crime, but he did steal a gun and over $5,000 worth of my property. Is there a better way to go about this other than through the DA's office?
If this comes from a case that we prosecuted, then we have what's called the DART unit. It's the District Attorney's Recovery Team. And that unit handles the collection of outstanding restitution and court costs. Another way to do it is that if you, and this is not legal advice, but if you had a final judgment in a criminal case, there's a method to go record that in probate court and have it enforced.
All right. The next one from, this is from Chris. So the main thing the district attorney has got to come to grips with is he's dealing with people who have zero feeling in their life. They are Neolithic Neanderthals with no respect for any human life.
Well, I'll say that there are some people like that. Not everybody in the criminal justice system is a Neolithic Neanderthal. But the ones who are that way, we know it. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 18 years now. There are people that get caught up in the justice system. They make really bad choices. They need to be held accountable for that. But if they've got an underlying addiction issue, if they're a veteran with PTSD issues or other related things, or if it's people with mental health issues, in appropriate cases, I do believe that they can be rehabilitated. That's crime prevention, because those, you know, 5 pages of mugshots that could happen if addiction or other issues is left unchecked. If we fix that, then you don't get the 5 pages of mugshots.
Let's give me a second here to deviate from that to go to how are we doing. I mean, I've gotten some updates, but through the Veterans Court, Mental Health Court, Drug Court, these things, speaking of rehabilitation, they still seeing success?
They are. All three of these courts have seen successful graduations of people that got their lives turned around. We've seen a tremendous amount of success with that, and I think we can build on it. I went down to Miami last year to look at how they treat mental health issues in particular. And, you know, drugs and the veterans issues will tie right into that. But they're about 20 years ahead of where we are and what we're trying to build. The big thing that we need now is brick and mortar beds for people for treatment. So I'm a believer in that. I fought it for a number of years because I thought, you know, that's being soft on crime. But the fact is, it makes the community safer, and I can't deny that.
Oh, I had some, you know, some ideas like that a decade and a half ago,
yeah,
and talked to people that I knew that had been in law enforcement and the judicial branch a long time, and they stopped long enough to have a real conversation with me. At the end of it, I said, you're right, because I'm a pragmatic person,
yeah,
too. They said, and you start thinking about, okay, somebody's addicted to drugs. He said, what good is it to sentence them? They go in, they come back out, they get right back on drugs, they do something. He said, why shouldn't we try to get them off drugs and back into being a member of society instead of just setting it up that we're just going to see them again in 4 years or something like that?
Yeah, it just makes more sense. And I listened to a prosecutor down in Miami speak about how when he was first presented with all of this. He spent 500 hours trying to research against it to prove that it was wrong, and he ended up being one of the biggest proponents for that. But I do think that, you know, there are real people that get caught up in the criminal justice system that we can help, and I want to do that as much as I can. It's crime prevention. It keeps us safer.
All right, coming right back. More of your questions from the text line and the phone line. Got people holding on the phones as well. For Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwell, we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. This segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. So you've been out on a couple trips in the boat already. Things didn't work perfectly. Maybe the family ended up saying, we're never going again until you get those things fixed. Listen, I got a guy who not only fixed the engine issues, but everything on the boat. And so at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, so they're right here on the East I-65 Service Road, also at Orange Beach Marina. So you can come in. They have a Yamaha Master Tech on staff, so they can do all the work on Yamaha engines and Mercury engines and make sure the engines are not just running perfectly to have them run perfectly, but also with, even though the oil's coming down, thanks, Iran, with the price of gasoline, making sure those engines are the most efficient so you get the most miles out of those gallons. They do all that work, but in addition, from your bow to your stern, they can do make sure your bilge pumps are running, your running lights are running, your electronics are running. So everything that goes into having a great day on the water is running perfectly on that boat. Make an appointment, drop it off, say, I need the whole thing done. Tell Forrest Man to get everything done. He can do it. Go online to bluewateryachtsales.net, and you can just click right there, set an appointment, drop the boat by, get the engine work done, and get everything else tuned up and perfect for your next trip on the water. BlueWaterYachtSales.net online. Give them a shout today. All right, continue our conversation with Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. And I'm this one we talked about during the break, but and then I made my argument and I might have lost that one. Ben asked, do you ever see people with multiple DUIs or multiple drug dealing offenses being included in Anaya's law?
I don't think so. I think that Anaya's law is going to be limited to violent offenses. DUIs can become violent when, you know, the wreck happens and somebody gets killed and then they're charged with more than DUI. But I don't see drug offenses or intoxication offenses being included.
B-Dark says, I believe everyone has one chance, and after that, no chance. So B-Dark's even tougher than Anaya's law on that. Butterknife says, what about making mugshots go away right now if your case is dropped? The mugshot is still there, but they want an arm and a leg to make it go away. If there's not a conviction, how can the sheriff's office and local police departments make money off these mugshots?
I can't speak for the individual departments. If a case is nolprost or dismissed, then there is a mechanism for an expungement of certain cases that people can talk to their attorney and try to pursue. But we're not the keeper of the mugshots. So I don't know all the policy reasons there.
Okay. Ask this question too, where y'all deal with things after it happens, but you are interested obviously with law enforcement and getting people off the streets and then
absolutely
in front of you into your world. As we conclude here, tool chest things, you have yours in your office. In the policing world, video cameras, online, what would you say if you had a discretionary budget? They said you can't use in your office, but you can give to law enforcement. Elios, what would you give them?
I think the body cams have been more of a benefit than they've been a detriment. Most of the departments have them. Some choose not to. But we've found a lot of benefit from that. So, you know, maybe there. But I'll tell you this tool that we now have that costs $0.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah. Prior to this last legislative session, we were actually prohibited from giving legal advice to law enforcement because the evolution of the law had been that we are the prosecutors, and we would be leaving our prosecutorial function to get into the investigative function by giving legal advice to law enforcement. So you kind of dance around the issue, and you give
the disclaimer. I kind of hear that argument, but
this isn't legal advice. But now there is a bill that passed that finally allows us to directly give legal advice to law enforcement.
Can you give me an example of like what that would be like?
Sure. I mean, if a police officer had called us and said, you know, such and such happened, do I have enough to make an arrest? We would have to say, I can't give you advice on that. Here are some things that you might want to go investigate further. Or, you know, you're going to have to make that decision on your own. Now we have the ability to really talk with them and give advice on if they have enough to arrest, among other things. So that's a huge benefit to us.
Well, that would be, okay, so that police officer or that deputy or whatever could say, maybe I need to get a little bit more
right
before I make this arrest, because you're, in a way, telling them, it comes to me, I'm not going to be able to prosecute this.
Correct, yeah. And we have more of an ability to more openly communicate with our partners in law enforcement. I think that's going to be a huge benefit.
Yeah, and it would probably keep somebody from, you know, from a civil libertarian side, somebody who hadn't done enough to be arrested.
Exactly.
It keeps them from being arrested.
Right. We don't want to prosecute people that are innocent. You know, we're not in this for wins and losses. We're in this for justice.
Yeah.
So we want to see a guilty person convicted and held accountable. And this will help us. From your civil libertarian point of view, I mean, that's going to help us weed out cases of innocent people on the front end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which means more time to spend on the people that
aren't
innocent.
Exactly.
And making some difference in, I mean, you've already cut that backlog in half, and it'd be something one day when it's just you know, your backlog is just the people come in that day.
Well, you know, I always tell everybody I'm in the only business that's trying to go out of business.
I'd love for you to be out of business.
I'd love to be out of business. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately, but we're going to do the very best we can.
Yeah, I mean, there should have been a DA in the Garden of Eden, right? They would have had business to do, so they'd had work to do. So
right.
Been at that for a long time. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in. Come back and see us again soon.
Thanks, Sean. I will do.
All right. And that is Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. And yeah, we'll get him in from time to time to answer your questions. Coming up next hour, talking with my buddy, college buddy, who is now in, I call it Qatar. Some people call it, we're going to find out because he works there. Jeff Toxie joins us next.